Okay. To the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, if you just read that and didn't find the correct translation of that, you'd sit there and say, well, okay, well, we're relying on luck. But that's not what it means there. It means you be in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to you. Now, how could that possibly be? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus, our high priest, ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That's us. That means he's praying for us. He's making intercession for us. As many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Now here's the thing. We all have to learn to listen to his voice. We've all heard his voice. But it takes some practice at hearing it and understanding it and listening to it. And then obeying it. See, how many of you have gotten up in the morning and went to the coffee table with a cup of coffee, licking your wounds, rubbing your bruises, saying, you know, something told me not to do that? How many of you have missed an opportunity and was sitting there thinking, you know, something told me I should have went over there? I got news for you. His name is not something. He's Holy Spirit. And he's trying to cause us to be in the right place at the right time so we could be blessed. He is trying to make sure we weren't at the wrong place at the wrong time, so we wouldn't get in a wreck. See, a lot of times, it'll just be one or two words. A lot of times, it'll say, yes, go. Sometimes, it'll say, no, stop. See, we have to stop and listen once in a while. We have to learn how to be guided by him. And then you can learn, actually, to listen to him on the fly. You know, you can be busy and you can hear him and you can go where he says go, not do what he says not to do. He really wants us to be blessed, but he really needs us to be in the right place at the right time. You know, a friend of mine, he told me one day, he came to church and he told me, he said, I heard God's voice. I said, that's cool. And I said, tell me about it. And he said, well, I went to a nursing home to minister. And he walked through the door and he said, I'm glad you're here, Jeff. And I said, that's neat. And he kept going and he kept going. And finally, and I could tell he was digging for something. So finally I said, and it sounded just like your voice, didn't it? And he said, how did you know that? He's going to talk to us in familiar voices. You know, let's be honest. If all of a sudden you heard Charlton Heston's voice, we'd probably have to chase you all the way down to Midland. Get you stopped. Amen. But here's the thing. Jesus said that to learn of him and let his word abide in us. And see, this is why. When we get his word in us, and we get familiar with his word, then he can start having intelligent conversations with us. And we'll understand him. The Bible tells us that my sheep will hear my voice, and the voice, they will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. The only way we can understand that is become familiar with his voice. And the only way we can become familiar with his voice is become familiar with his word. I was very fortunate. I didn't get bombarded with a whole bunch of religion before I started going to church. In fact, I was born again 5 or 6 years before I even started going to church. Well, I was still crazier than a pet coon. But one day, God told me, said, you better start reading the Bible or you're dead. And I knew it wasn't God going to kill me. It was life around me that was going to take me out. So he got me to read the New Testament. I started reading the New Testament over and over and over. Reading all over in there, reading the New Testament. And then he said, you go to church. So I'd go to church, and they'd say something. And I knew in my spirit that wasn't right. Well, who am I? I wasn't learned from any school or nothing. What happened was he got enough word in me that I could have the witness of the Holy Spirit in me. So then somebody could tell me something and I knew if it was right or wrong. All of us should get that in us. See, that's how we can be led by the Holy Spirit, to be familiar with His Word. But I want you to know how much God cares for you, how concerned He is about meeting your needs. You know, when you see Jesus, you see God. That's what Jesus basically told them people. That if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. If you would have known me, you would have known my Father. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 1. You know, one of the things about reading the Bible is you need to understand just a little bit about geography, understand just a little bit about culture, you know, and the religious traditions of the time. John chapter 4, verse 1. So when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what, you know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. You know, let's start by understanding just a little bit about some people and some geography and how things went. You know, verse 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. See, the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. In fact, they would go out of their way to avoid the Samaritans. You know, it was 3 days closer to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. But the Jews, they would go 3 days out of their way to avoid Samaria. Imagine that. These guys would go a long ways to avoid going to some place. I wonder how many Christians go a long ways to avoid bad areas. You know, one of my favorite places to eat in Midland was the Flats. And it was a rough area. But there was good barbecue down there. And I would go down there often and I'd eat. And then I noticed there wasn't anybody walking around witnessing to people. So I had a big playground that I could run around. I could witness to people. I was in Bible school. I didn't have a lot to do anyway when we got out of school. So I'd go witness to people. I'd eat barbecue and I'd run around. One day I was at church and this guy asked me, he said, "Was that your pickup I seen at the Flats?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Are you kidding me? Did you break down?" "No." He said, "I won't even stop in the Flats." You know, how many people get avoided by Christians because they're rough? And furthermore, that woman said her father was Jacob. So not only were they avoided because they were Samaritans, but they were family. They still had Abraham's blood coursing through their veins. How many family members get avoided and not witnessed to? I don't want to witness to my family. My whole family got witnessed to all in one fell swoop. My dad's funeral. I had them all hostage until he got in the ground. They were going to listen to the gospel. You know, sometimes we got to decide whether it is more important to please man or is it more important to please God. Is your buddies and your friends, are they going to get you to heaven or is it going to be God? See, we have to decide whose team we're going to play for and play for that team 100%. You know, verse 5 says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Sychar, when you find out what that means, it means that he went to a place of falsehood and drunkenness, a name of reproach. He went to the rough part of town. He went to the rough part of town. You know, the normal trail for Jews wants to go around. But he said, I have to go through Samaria. Think about that for just a second. I have to go to the rough place. I have to go where nobody else wants to go. There was a reason for that. You know, verse 16, this is one of the reasons that we need to learn to be led by the Spirit, hear His voice, and important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in your life. So you can have words of knowledge. You can have words of wisdom and different gifts of the Spirit, miracles and healing. But a lot of people like to think, well, that was Jesus, the Son of God, that was walking around doing all these miracles. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, 100%. But did you notice that when he got to the well, that he was wearied? Means he was tired. On this earth, he was all man. And he had to be led by the Holy Spirit. He had to first receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that he could operate in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, if it was any other way, then we could just sit there and say, well, that was God doing that. I can't do that. But that's not the way this works. Jesus was a righteous man on this earth, and he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then he started doing miracles. The Bible tells us when we get born again, we get to be made a righteous man. So then we go receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we can go operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are to set people free. Not to read people's mail in front of everybody and make them feel bad. Verse 16 says, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. That was a word of wit. That was a word of knowledge right there. See, Jesus already knew. He read her mail to her. To her. Not to anybody else. To her. Not to make her feel bad. Jesus' ultimate goal was to set people free. He came to seek and to save the lost. And he went out of his way to get to this woman to tell her about salvation. You know, she had to live in shame every day. She knew her marriage life evidently was a total disaster. You know, some people would call her a hopper, you know, just hop from one relationship to the next. I imagine people probably made her feel terrible, but not Jesus. In fact, Jesus used this gift of knowledge to locate herself. He asked her in verse 16, he asked her this question to help her locate herself. You know, sometimes people are just like a fart in the whirlwind until you get the Word of God into them and let them know, say, look, this is what's going on. But you have to be confident enough in your fellowship with God and have His Word in you so you can be led by the Holy Spirit so that you can go ahead and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you that operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not always all that comfortable. You know, but He will never leave you nor forsake you. And He's always going to make sure you're going to be all right. And He said, nothing shall by any means harm you. But ultimately, it's not about your own comfort. It's about getting somebody set free. You know, for the longest time, I lived in Midland, and I'll tell on the phone store there, and I go pay my bill every month at the same place, and I go in there, and there was this desk, and I go in there, and I pay them cash for my phone bill, and I go on about my business, and it was that way for, I don't know how many years. How long? It was a long time. Then all of a sudden, one day, I come walking in there, and the lady wasn't at her little desk. And somebody come out and said, what do you need? And I said, well, I got to pay my bill. I said, well, you come back here, back to the office. So, okay, I don't know what this is about. So I went back, and I sat down at the desk, and there was a lady sitting at the desk, and the lady standing back there by this copier. I thought something must be wrong. And she said, what do you need? I said, I need to pay my phone bill. And she said, okay. And then I looked at her and I said, the reason that your relationship with your mother is broken is because you're living in sin with a man and you're not going to church. And the lady behind her looked at me and said, are you a psychic or something? Said, no, but God just wanted me to tell you that. And this lady at the desk, she said, you're right. And I said, can I pay my bill? Yeah, here you go. I never made it to that office again. In fact, AT&T bought that place out, and I never was the same again. But at least she knew what God wanted her to hear. She wasn't hearing God's voice. Now, a lot of times Christians want to sit in church and they say, we want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating inside the church. You know, it's okay to a certain degree, but did you know that God wants you to listen to His voice? He wants you to hear His voice personally? If He has to, He'll use somebody else to relay a message to you, but that's not His best for you. His best for you is to hear His voice for yourself. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit out in the world, where there's some Christians that are running around loose, you know, and maybe need somebody to tell them, say, look up, you're heading for trouble. That's where the gifts of the Holy Spirit need to be. When we run into somebody who's not born again, that's where the gifts of the Holy Spirit need to be. Somebody may say, well, what's the most important gift that you can have? Whichever one that the man standing in front of you needs at that time, because we're looking for a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We're not looking for a gift. We're looking for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And whatever He wants to do, let Him do that. See, we have to be willing to just be used. You know, just give up. Say, okay, you do whatever you want me to do. It's all right. He's not going to hurt you. the very best example that I ever heard of this was Kelly Copeland, I believe it was driving down the road, and God said, pull into this gas station, go to that cooler and stand on your head. Well, she, you know, her dad's a pretty dignified preacher. He's up there a ways. She could have said, you're going to have to find somebody else, go stand on their head. But no. No, she went in that gas station. She went up to that cooler. The cooler he pointed, said, stand on your head. She stood on her head. She just stood there for a while. And he said, okay. So she got up. And she said, well, she had to do something. So she found something to drink in that cooler, you know, grabbed it, went to the cashier, set it down, and this girl was in tears. She said, you know, I was going to go kill myself today. And I told God, I said, if you're really real, you have somebody come in here, stand on their head at that cooler. God went out of his way to save that girl. And see, he uses us to go out of his way. See, we are the body of Christ. He's not going to get it done without us. See, he does need us. He needs our cooperation. He needs us to be willing to be used by him. He needs us to be available to be used. This is the biggie. Everybody wants to be used by God. At their convenience. See, use me, oh Lord, to do whatever you want me to do. Just don't call me on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. Call me anytime you want, unless the Rangers are playing. Call me whenever you want. On Saturday, not too early in the morning. Call me, use me, as long as it's not going to interfere with my life. That's the basic truth of most of the church. When we truly become available, when we truly become available to be used by God, that means we will pull up stakes and go somewhere, even though we have a mortgage, pickup payment, really good job. Is God really the source of your supply? Then he'll take care of that mortgage and that pickup payment. Wherever you're at, he'll help you. He'll take care of you. Holy Spirit is here to help you. And he'll go above and beyond. He'll get you out of debt. Praise God. But look, our availability. Are we available to go to Sychar? I was curious. I was like everybody else. I was trying to figure out where we were supposed to go, you know, when we were in Bible school, you know, what is our special calling, you know, and I'd heard about special callings. And I'd heard people say, well, I was called to go to the PRCA. I was called to go to the PBR. One guy even told me he was called to witness to the extremely rich. And here I was going to the county jail. Going to the streets. You know, and some people got mad because they didn't have a place to go when they got out of Bible school. And I was, well, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to go to work. So I went home and I told God, I said, look, if you got something for me to do, let me know. I'll be right here. I'll be working. You let me know and I'll go do it. What did I do? I made myself available. Available to be used. And it wasn't always the easiest decision. But still go. Be willing and obedient When he calls you, go and do that. Now, here's the thing. Don't expect him to call you to go do the great things. You know, one of the first things I got to do is there was a prophet of God that went to church where I went to, and he had a catheter. And so one of my jobs was to make sure he could get back there to the bathroom out of his wheelchair and into the stall and then back out to church. Well, I've been to Bible school. Why do I have to? You want to be used by God? Then be used by God. And don't think that any job is too small or insignificant for you to be used. Amen? It's all important to God. And see, here's one thing I've learned, that if you'll be about His business, He'll be about yours. And that's when things get really, really cool. That's when you step over into the blessing. And that blessing starts flowing. And it's fun. We have to be willing to be used. And then obedient to the call. Amen. Even, he'll say, go tell this guy that Jesus loves him. And this guy might look like he could just break your leg off and beat you with it. Well, God said, go tell him that he loves him. He might get born again. You never know. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you that we can hear your voice and that our high priest will cause us to be at the right place at the right time so that right things can happen to us. And Father, we thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that we can hear your voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. And we thank you for taking care of us and protecting us. We know that we need your protection. And we ask you to protect us and take care of us. Jesus is our good shepherd. And he causes us to lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters. He loves us so much. He takes care of us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.